Well, it's good to be in the house of God. Today, I want to share a message with you that is titled, This is the End. Dun, dun, dun. A little bit of special effects. This is the end. It's over. And I don't know what comes to your mind when I say this is the end. You might be thinking, oh, we're in the end times. Yeah, we truly are in the end times. There's a lot of crazy things happening out there. And we, as believers of Jesus, we believe that Jesus is going to come and get all of us, and we're going to be with him in heaven. But until that happens, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And a part of the work is this ending I want to talk about today, which is what we've actually witnessed today, this ending of something in someone's life. And that is, we will believe with the waters of baptism, that we bury our old life and we rise up and we live a new life through Christ. So that's what the waters represent. But we have good and bad ends in our life. And the scripture talks about a lot of different ends that we have in our life. And, you know, sometimes we look back over your life, you probably have had some ends in your life. And maybe it was a relationship that really didn't go as planned. When you were young, you fell in love with someone and you thought they were the ones, but then realized they were not the ones. And then you had to end the relationship and you had to suffer for about 3 to 6 months and question, and why is this and why is that? But then somehow you trusted God and God sent someone your way and you met someone special. Or whether it's relationship with people that, you know, you need to end some relationship, whether it's people moving away. We've had a gentleman here in our church, I'm not going to mention his name for the privacy reasons, but he was here with us for about 10 years, doing everything with us. I mean, everything from almost to the point of going and sleeping with us in our house. But he was doing everything with us, and he was always here in media, helping, always running around. We went for food. Some of you know who I'm talking about. But this guy came up to us a few years ago, and he said, I am leaving. I'm moving out west. Goodbye. It was a tough cookie we had to swallow. He comes to visit sometimes, but we still miss him. It's never going to be the same. If you're watching online, you can come back. We miss you. But also saying goodbye, then that was a good end, but we still stay in touch, you know. But there's some ends in our life that really are hard to deal with. And those are, you know, when we lose a loved one. And some of us have lost loved ones over the years. And we just recently actually went through a loss in our community, Serbian community, Yugoslavian community. We had a pastor that was... His name was Dusko, and he was actually pastoring a Yugoslavian church in the city up on Madison Street. And my whole family comes from that church. And he just suddenly passed away a few weeks ago. He had a stroke, and within a few days, he was gone to eternity. And it was an end that we were talking about in our family, but how amazing of work that gentleman has done, that actually all of my family even and my best friends are the result of his fruit and what he has sown into their lives. Today, the greatest community that I hang out with, my best friends and my family, have been impacted by his life. And that was an end that was hard to swallow because it was unexpected. Sometimes we have those unexpected ends that we don't really plan for, but they happen. Just 2 weeks before the 45th anniversary of the church. But God is the God of new beginnings. And if you had something end in your life, whether it was good or bad, if you were spiritual enough, if you had your eyes, your spiritual eyes open, you would have seen God all over it. And God is usually with us in the beginning, and God is usually with us, especially at the end. And ends are not easy. But today we got to witness 6 great ends when someone ended their earthly life and they decided to follow Jesus. So since the time we were born, God expects us, because we were born into sin, he expects us to end this life of sin and to commit our life to him and to bury our old life and rise up to live a new life in Christ. And that is a good end that God wants for every single one of us. And they're the ends that end is what gives us the newness of life. It gives us purpose. It gives us eternal life. It gives us joy in this life, no matter the circumstances. And Scripture talks about how endings can be a good thing. And sometimes as believers, we look forward to an end. You know, we all talk about this. Oh, one day, I cannot wait for a day when I'm going to meet Jesus face to face. And all the suffering and all the pain and all the sickness and all the sin will be gone in that one blink of an eye. And we've had some of the loved ones that have gone before us and are rejoicing in the presence of the Lord today. But even God, in Scriptures, Jesus, in Revelation says, I am the Lord of the beginning and the end. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. And God was always there. There was never a beginning. There's never an end. God has always been in existence. And what that means for us is that really there is no ends in our life. There's only transitions. And when we have certain ends, when we have a relationship end, when we have, spiritually speaking, when we bury our life, there are the transitions into something hopefully better that God has for us. We are living in this life, and we're in the trenches of life, and where some of us are going through hard times, some of us are going through not so hard times, but we are persevering with faith till the end. And when the end comes, we're going to be surrounded by God and His glory. See, there's many characters in the Scripture that have had ends happen in their life. And one of them we heard about two weeks ago when Pastor Ken was sharing a message about Job and his life and what he was about. And Job, which in the beginning when I came to Canada 20 years ago, I thought it was a book of Job. So I went there to look for a job, but I didn't find any. I found God speaking to me about how to position yourself and how to trust God no matter what happens. So Job was going through this life and he lost everything. God allowed things to happen to him. And at the end of his life, he lost his kids, his possessions, his everything that he's ever owned and accumulated. And even his wife came up to him and said, curse God and die. And at the end, what we see happen is that his latter days were much better than the beginning days. And God blessed him with, because he stayed faithful and he trusted God, even though he was having a really hard life, God has blessed him. He's doubled his he had more kids and more possessions and more things later in his life. And we see different characters in the Scriptures that have had hard beginnings, but then really good ends. And then we also see Jesus who was going through this life, and then he had a ministry, and then he was killed, but then he had a great ending. He resurrected from the dead. And then we also have someone like Peter, who was with Jesus. He was living his life, but then he rejected Jesus. But then he came around and he lived his life completely sold out to Jesus. And why I love ends is because there's something to look forward to. We have people always talk about the end goal. What is the end goal? What do we want? What are we trying to accomplish here? And if it's an end, it's an opportunity to look forward to see what's next. And consciously or unconsciously, we always ask a question. What is next when something ends? And you know what? I've realized there are seasons in life that we all go through. And there is an end to a season. And there are seasons that we go through, and sometimes the season ends and we move on. And then that season ends and then we move on. Sometimes circumstances, they happen. They just simply come to an end. Some of them can be painful, but with spiritual eyes that we have, we believe there's always an opportunity for God to step in and do something. And what I've realized in life is that our ends are not God's ends. They're God's beginnings. And every end and every conclusion marks an opportunity for God to usher in a fresh beginning. Every end in our life is an opportunity for God to have a new beginning. And there's another gentleman in the Scripture who was Solomon, David's son, who God asked, what does he want? And then he said he wants the wisdom. And then he became one of the richest, most glorious people that ever lived. He was everybody was coming to him for advice. He was so wise. He was so rich. And he, in all of his glory, in all of his delight, he came to the end of his life, and he wrote this book that we have with us, Ecclesiastics. Did I say that right? No, I didn't. And he talks about life and he says, hey, listen, I have had everything that I could possibly have. I have accomplished every single accomplishment that I could. He was the richest. If you could compare him to today, Elon Musk, they say, is the richest man alive, $365 billion worth. Solomon was like 6 or 7 times more than that. This guy had everything. But then he comes to the end of his life, and he makes a statement. He says this, the end of a matter is better than its beginning. Ecclesiastes 7:8. And he says this, and patience is better than pride. The end of a matter is better than the beginning, and patience is better than pride. And if you read this chapter, the whole chapter, he talks about how it's good to be in a funeral, because in your funeral, you actually get a wake-up call and see, wow, well, I got only so much to live. And how he actually talks about it in the first couple of verses, it's better to be in a funeral because then you get wisdom. But this whole chapter, I feel like it's sort of like he's laying his heart and it's sort of like his confession. And he's saying, I've seen it all, I've done it all, and I've accomplished everything. What is the meaning of life? It's the question that he asked. What is the point of all this? I see sun go down, go up. I've lived another day. I've had everything that I could have. But when it comes to this conclusion, he said, the end of a matter. And I believe like this was sort of like a confession that he was confessing. And I personally believe, and I think a lot of theologians agree as well, that he, at the end of his life, had repented. Because the last couple of scriptures there say, what is worth it all? Nothing, just to follow God, heed his word, and follow his commands. That's all that matters in life. So if I feel like at the end of his life, Solomon has turned, but he has wasted his whole life searching and wanting more. And he was married to 1,000 women. And actually, the scripture tells us that it was actually those women that took his heart away from the Lord. It was not the wealth. It was not the accomplishments. It was nothing else. It was the relationships that he was in. This might be a good lesson for some of the young people that want to look to get married. Doesn't matter what you have in life, if your partner is not following the Lord, it's not going to be easy. Your heart may turn away. And the Lord, at the end of the day, the Lord really wants our heart. He gave everything to Solomon, but he really wanted his heart. But his heart was too busy with other gods, pleasing the women and all those things. So at the end of the day, he came to his life, at the end of his life, and he said, it's worth, all of it is worth nothing. And he realized that the end of his life was better because he has turned around and gave his life to God. And here's the three things that we have witnessed today, three things that we all need to experience while we are on this earth. And the first end is the end of search, the end of quest. And the question that comes up, is this real? Is this true? Is the gospel that we preach, that we believe, that read, is this Christianity thing, is that really the real deal? And I'm here to tell you that the search is over. You don't have to be searching anymore. You don't have to be looking around. You don't have to be going places. You don't have to be reading philosopher's books and this guy and that guy. And there's so many religions and so many things and so many offerings. Things are being thought. Things are being pushed on us and ideologies and all kinds of stuff. The search is over. We're exposed to so much information today that we have a hard time deciding what we want when it comes to just normal things in life. And you know, you've probably seen yourself when you want to go buy something, a product, and you want to see whether it works. You're not spending your money unless you check the reviews, you see if other people use that, all that kind of stuff. And sometimes I have a problem even spending like $5 on something until I figure out that that thing actually works. Does Christianity and does gospel actually work? Is that a real deal? Is that something that we can fully, completely put our trust and our hope in? And Jesus answered this many, many, many different ways in different areas, but they asked him. And then Jesus in 14:6, he made a statement. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus answers the question that everybody was asking at that time. Who is this guy? What's going on? And then Jesus just makes a statement. Now, Jesus, a lot of people say, was either crazy or was truthful. He was either mentally ill or he was really the real deal. And we all come to the conclusion that he was a real deal. So what happens in our life since when we are born, we're born into this world, and then we live this life as children, we grow up, and then there comes a point where we have to make a decision. We have to make a decision for ourselves. Not ask our parents to make a decision for us, or our grandparents, who always have the greatest intentions, and our parents also have the greatest intentions, but it's actually comes a point where you have to make a decision yourself and make Jesus the Lord of your life. Not make your parents' faith your faith, but actually it has to become your own personal faith. And that's what happens when the Spirit convicts it. When the Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit, and when he convicts us of our sin and of our need of God, then everything changes. We talk about that conviction a lot in the scripture. So that's when not everything changes, but the quest and the search stops. We have found what we have we've been looking for. And Jesus was talking a lot about it. John, just before Jesus came, was talking about it. And he was baptizing people. He was saying, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. That was his message. As that was being preached, Jesus comes up. Jesus gets baptized. He comes up. He lives. He starts his ministry. But then John, because he was preaching this message of repentance, he gets caught. He gets thrown in the prison. And in the prison, he is again faced with the question himself. And he goes to his disciples in Matthew 11:3, and he says, "Go ask Jesus this. I just got to make sure this one more time. I gotta make this sure." And he says this: "Are you the Messiah that we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" And if you're sitting here this morning, or you're watching online listening, are you still searching? Are you still looking around, trying to find the real deal? Jesus comes back, responds with the message in the next verse, and he says, Jesus told him, "Go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the sick are being cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor." So Jesus confirms what John wanted to confirm just one more time. You know, he came to the quest and he asked, okay, are you really the real deal? Because John knew what was coming, but he wanted to know that the cause that he was going to die for was worth it. It was worth it. It was worth it to lay down his life because Jesus, the Lamb of God, was there and he was the answer. So as people search, we realize that we all have this God-sized hole, Jesus-sized hole that only he can fill. And nothing in this life will truly satisfy us deep down. We can try money, we can try drugs, we can try things of this world, we can try people, relationships, even great accomplishments in this life. But at the end, nothing will truly satisfy us. Nothing will truly answer the question that we have been asking since the beginning. What's the ultimate truth? Except Jesus. And we know that Jesus, when he came, he proved it with his life. He was the only one that had no sin. He took his sin upon himself. He declared himself God, and he said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." He was talking about something that was about to come, but then Jesus also died. And then he was resurrected, and he proved to us that the search was over. And then also Jesus had a lot of parables, and one of the parables, he was talking about what the kingdom of God is like. And in one of them, he said, the kingdom of God is like this diamond. It's like this pearl, precious pearl that was in soil somewhere. And it's like this guy found out that this was there. He went, he sold everything he's owned. Nothing was worth more than finding this pearl and buying this land. He was willing to give everything up for this kingdom. And that's what kingdom of God is. The search is over. We have found what we've been looking for. And it's in Jesus. It's Jesus himself who is God. What else is the end of things today? This is the end of sin. It's what you have done in the past. When you confess and you say, God, please forgive me of my sins, it's also going to be forgiven for what you're going to do in the future. Romans 6:6 says this, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." And this is the thing, talking about this transformation and the freedom from sin. You know, sin, what sin is really, it's just simply means missing the mark. And the scripture talks about this in Romans 12, that when we become Christians, there's no more condemnation. And there's no need for this flesh, this sin, to rule us anymore. And fleshly desires, we were ruled by it when before we knew Jesus. And we were, everything that was happening around us, every choice that we were making was wrong because we were ruled by flesh and by this sin. But then Jesus came, forgave us of our sin, and now we're not ruled with sin anymore. Bible talks about the consequences of sin, and we've seen what happened to Adam and Eve in the beginning. They died spiritually, but now we are reborn spiritually. And when Nicodemus came to Jesus and asked him, what does it take to be saved? Jesus says, you have to be born again. Talks about the spiritual rebirth. And when that happens, we're promised eternal life. We're promised the good end that's coming. When Jesus died, our sin died with him. And our sinful life has been forgiven, pardoned, washed away. And when Jesus looks at us today, he looks at us as righteousness of God. He doesn't look at us and point the sin and looks at our disgusting, filthy rags, but he looks at us as righteous children of God. And sin does not control us anymore. That's the most beautiful thing about this life, Christian life. It does not rule. It does not control. When we were in the world, we were struggling with it. Sin was leading us to do all these things. But now, we don't live by flesh. We live by the Spirit of God. And we are ruled by His Spirit. So this is the end of sin. And the third thing that ends is simply, this is the end of you, your desires, your will, and what you want. And now God's will comes and steps in. Just like the song that we sang, I Trust in God. It's like we are trusting God in His will for our life, not our will and our and what we want. You see, in Matthew 16:24, Jesus clarified this. He said to His disciples, if any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. Notice it says this, you have to give up your own way, your own will, what you want, your desires, your selfish desires. And this is the second part of the verse, patience is better than pride. Sometimes it's hard when we go through this life to be patient and to wait on God's will for whatever step we are to take. But if we're patient and we're not prideful and we're submitted to God's ways and we let go of control and we let God in, then God is going to lead us. He's going to show us the way. He's going to show us what His will is for our life. When Jesus talked about to His disciples about prayer, teaching them how to pray, one part of the prayer was, lead us not into temptation, which has to do with sin. And that's what we are to pray, so that we would not get into temptation. But the second part of the prayer was, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a part of our decree, what we pray, what we believe. So since our desire was corrupted with sin, we became selfish and self-oriented, Jesus came in and took that off. And sin has been dealt with. There's no more pride. There's no more need to be independent. Now we can follow the lead of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you notice what it takes for us to live according to God's will? It requires faith. Faith is a big aspect, big part of it. And we cannot live out God's will for our life without faith. It's a big foundational part. So when this ends, our will, ourselves, what happens is our life is not our own. Scripture talks about it. It becomes our God, our life. We give it to God, and He is now the sole owner of our life. We solely, completely transferred our ownership to God, and now He owns us, and our life is in His hands. Now, if you own a property, you call the shots, right? Not the tenants in your house. Although sometimes they think that they all, you know, they call the shots. But you're the owner, so you call the shots. And that's how it is with us. Sometimes we don't realize that we're just the tenants in this body, and this body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Our life is God's, and it is God and His will and His ways that need to be fulfilled through us. We realize what Jesus has done for us. He's given His life fully, completely for us. We realize that it is His will, it is His purpose, it is what matters more in our life than ourselves. And we all have a purpose, spiritual purpose. For the short life that we live on this earth, we are to fulfill not our plan, but His plan, God's plan, His purpose, His desires. So it's time to put an end to self and selfishness and make this life about us, because really it's not about us. We're just a very small part of this great story of redemption. And asking a question, God, what is it that You want to do, is where we start living like this. Is this from You? Is this Your will for my life? Before we do anything. And today, this morning, I want to give an opportunity to you to ask yourself a question. What end do you feel you need to have in your life today? Some of you may be sitting here, you may be still searching whether Jesus is the real deal. You may be still struggling with some sin in your life. Or you may be battling your will, God's will, your will, God's will. This is the day that we can call and we can stop this and we can say, I want to put an end to this. And I'm going to commit my life to God. I'm going to end the life of sin. I'm going to end the life of search. I'm going to ask for forgiveness. And I'm going to let God's Spirit lead me from now on. Father's will for our life is always better for us than ours. And we've seen it in our life over and over again. If you have kids, you know, kids think that they know the best, but we know the best, except they need to trust us. And I'm going to end it with this verse, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. You see, every end, every conclusion marks an opportunity for God to usher in a new, fresh beginning. I want to pray for you this morning, and what I'd like you to do is to pray along with me. As I pray, I'd like you to pray with me, and I'm going to cover all of three of these aspects, and then I want you to sincerely just open your heart to God and pray with me together, and then after that, Pastor Kenny's going to come, and we're going to conclude with laying on of hands. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for the life You give me. And right now in this moment, I want to make You the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sin and cleanse me. Help me to follow Your will and Your way for my life. Jesus, I love You, and I thank You for Your sacrifice, for Your salvation, Your love, and eternal life You give me. I surrender to You all that I am today, and for the days of my life, I want to serve You, follow Your voice, and do Your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.